Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a joyful time this is that we have together on this Christmas Eve to lift up our prayers to God, prayers of thanksgiving for the birth of his Son, prayers of intercession for him to make his Son known to those who still wander in darkness, prayers of discernment for him to show us our place in his mission in this world, to sing our praises to him for his great works that he has accomplished on our behalf, to hear again the story of the Nativity and the birth of his Son, the song sung by the angels as they appeared to the shepherds in the skies over Bethlehem that first Christmas night, a song which still echoes through the world. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace. That is what the newborn child comes to bring, peace. For our midweek Advent services this year, Deacon Barnard, Pastor Hugerheide, and Pastor Reif each unfolded one of the titles given to the child in Isaiah 9, verse 6. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Wonderful Counselor who comforts us in our distress. The Mighty God who bears his arm to redeem us. The Everlasting Father who adopts us as his sons and daughters and promises to hear all our prayers. And tonight it is my privilege to wrap this up by speaking to you, our Prince of Peace, the one who comes to bring eternal peace. You know, there's a popular saying, I'm sure you've seen it or heard it or come across it on a bulletin board or a bumper sticker somewhere, no Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, N-O, no peace. And looking at the world around us, there really is no peace. This war in Ukraine that still hasn't ended and is nearing the end of its second year of conflict over in Ukraine between Ukraine and Russia. The terrorist attack on Israel back in October and subsequent invasion of Palestine with its terrible cost in human suffering on both sides of the conflict, or else other insurrection or uprising or coup in Africa, in South America, need I go on? Or perhaps a little closer to home, the political rivalry and division in our own country that has become so prevalent over the last several years. Social upheaval and conflict within American society that started at least 3 years ago, and if you think about it, even further back than that. The aftershock of the COVID pandemic still being seen today. No Jesus, no peace. Now, where does all of this conflict, this lack of peace, come from? This is not an innate part of our world. This isn't the way that God originally created all things to be, with conflict between people. God's original creation was good back in Genesis chapter 1, with no conflict, no sickness, no death, only peace. Peace between people, peace between people and nature, peace between man and God. the world was good, but then man deviated from that perfection, bringing conflict and war into the world by our own sin. That sin in the garden, the desire to be like God, which has echoed down and reverberated through the centuries down to today, so that because of our sins, our mistakes, there is no peace in this world. We suffer from the consequences of our own sins and innocently may suffer from the consequences of the actions of those around us. Perhaps we can look at important people and their sins. The invasion in Russia only has one cause, or the invasion of Ukraine only has one cause. The terrorists behind the terrorist attacks, looters, rioters on the news, all of these big sins, big important people, but are we any better ourselves? Perhaps our sin isn't as visible or as obvious as theirs, but it's still there. Greed, selfishness, anger, covetousness, deceit, lying, all of these things come from within us and poison and corrupt our relationships with those around us. Now, even if you haven't personally destroyed a relationship by your actions, I bet everyone here can think of at least one person whose sins have broken your relationship with them. Sin destroys relationships, sin destroys peace, sin breeds conflict. So there is no peace in this world. But we are here tonight to celebrate the coming of the Prince of Peace, who comes so that we might know peace, not just here, but eternally, heavenly peace with God. This Prince of Peace had been promised for so many years, all the way back from Genesis chapter 3, right after that first sin, when God declares that Adam and Eve are to be punished for their sin, punishment which still echoes through the ages. In Genesis 3, verse 15, in his declaration against the serpent for tempting them, God says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He, singular, one offspring of the woman, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Perhaps a few centuries later, in calling Abraham to be his, God says, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Peace shall come through this offspring of Abraham, this offspring of the woman." Or in our reading from this morning from 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised to make David a house that would stand forever, a prince, a king who would give peace. The promise in Isaiah chapter 7, which is so familiar to us, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This one will bring peace, will rule in peace. This one will come. The long-promised child was announced by angels, was foretold by prophets. In Luke chapter 1, before our gospel reading today, Zechariah foresees that his son John will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and will guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace will come into this world through this child. Or as the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace comes through this child, and this child is the one that we celebrate tonight, whose birth was announced by angels, that he would be the son of David, given his famous forebear's throne, ushering in peace. He was to be great, the son of the Most High, born in the city of David, Bethlehem, the city of the great king, to be to a descendant of David, to sit on David's throne, not simply for a single nation, but for all people, to bring peace for all people. His father, a simple carpenter, his mother, an unwed teen, his cradle, a feeding trough, his blanket, a handful of rags, this child was born in order to bring peace, heavenly peace between us and God. He is a human being like us. He is at the same time the God who created us. Born as a king, he comes and rules as a servant, sympathizing with our weaknesses. And despite our sins, despite all our failings, he still loves us. He loves us so much that he became one of us to take away our sins, to undo the division, to comfort us, to bridge the gap that our sins have created between us and God. In Jesus, through Jesus' life, we have peace with God. But the peace that he brings is more than simply peace with God. When we take refuge in the Prince of Peace, the conflict and chaos of this life fades away. Now, doesn't disappear, of course. We are still faced with the same broken relationships, divisions, conflicts, sins, the storm around still rages around us. But when we shelter in the Prince of Peace, we don't need to fear any of these things because we dwell in the shelter of the Most High. In Psalm 91, the psalmist promises, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. No evil is allowed to befall us because we take refuge. We are sheltered in God." So whatever happens in this life, whatever brokenness and sin affects us today, it is not eternal. So the peace, however, that God gives us is eternal. Because we have this eternal peace from our Prince of Peace, we share that peace with those around us. When someone sins against you and damages your relationship, forgive. You have been forgiven so much, pass that forgiveness on. Your relationship with God is secure. God also loves and created the other one. When you see someone who is weak, suffering under the weight of sin, show them God's love. You have been loved. Love others in return. The peace and love that come from God do not end, but flow out of us and through us to those around us. The Prince of Peace brought reconciliation in this world, and he uses us to carry that reconciliation to others. Nothing is the same for us when we have the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. So many people do not know peace this Christmas. So many suffer from conflict, from broken relationships, from the weight of sin. But that is exactly why the Prince of Peace came. Born of a virgin, bedded in a manger, swaddled in rags, sought by shepherds and worshipped by wise men, so that he might usher in the peace of God, make that peace manifest for you, not simply as the babe in the wooden manger, but as the man nailed to the wooden cross, because that is the truth of Christmas. We can't celebrate Christmas without also looking ahead to the spring, to Good Friday, and beyond that, to Easter Sunday. That our Prince of Peace came not to sit on a golden throne or rule from an ornate palace, but to be enthroned on a wooden cross, to rest in a borrowed tomb, and thereby to make peace between us and God, between us and our neighbors, in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, looking to that babe in the manger who brings us that peace. Amen.